Hello, this is Janet Gallen with Love Letters Live, another wonderful guest, and we just met a few minutes ago, so we'll have a good time together getting to know her. My guest is Ann Benson, and I'm going to kind of go right to you and ask you to talk about yourself, but on the way in, you talked about an audition you went to this morning.
I did.
So I'm going to say that you're an actress, and you've been acting for a long time.
I have.
What is your own history in that?
Oh, let's see. I've done things like Mad Men. CSI.
Oh.
I was on Betty White's Off Their Rockers for 3 seasons. I don't know if you ever caught us, but...
And this is all under your name, Ann Benson. Is that
right.
The name? Okay.
Yeah. In fact, I got to be pretty well known around the city because we pranked a lot of young people.
How?
We pranked them.
In what way?
Old people pranking young people. I did all sorts of things.
Can you say what?
Oh, well, of course.
I mean, you're not embarrassed to,
No.
Or you wouldn't have done it in public. Yes.
Of course. We were on NBC for 2 seasons, and then we were on cable for 1 season. And it was a lot of fun, and Betty was great, so we all enjoyed Betty. What we did was prank people, young people. I did things, some of them I'm a little ashamed of. I once had to tell a woman that her baby wasn't beautiful enough.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
To belong, you know, to join our agency. I was a talent scout.
Oh, okay, so let's start
and
with
I
that.
And I absolutely looked at the most beautiful baby I had ever seen in my life.
And said that.
And said, do you have any other children?
What was the response?
She was just shocked. But she was nice. And afterwards, I apologized. And I told her the only reason we picked her was because she knew her baby was gorgeous.
Yes.
Because it was the prettiest baby I had ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, she must have known that, too, and then realized something was a little fishy.
Yes.
What a thing to have to do.
My favorite thing was at Costco, where I would spy things in somebody else's basket and simply take them. I said, I like that. And then I'd take them and walk away. And one day, my neighbor was at Costco while I was not working, but just shopping. And she took a bottle of scotch out of my basket and walked away.
But you knew what she was. But yes. Oh, my goodness.
He was getting even.
You were a casting agent before?
Casting agent? Never.
Yes. I mean, what did you say you had to do with? I'm sorry if I misunderstood that.
I was a performer on a show called Off Their Rockers with Betty White.
No, I understand that. But I thought I heard you say something about casting.
No, I went on an audition today.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm hearing my own head. Never mind. Okay, and the audition today?
It was very nice. I played an older woman whose husband had died, and I had been waiting to find out if he really died.
Oh.
And my son presented me with his dog tags. And I said,
yes.
I had been waiting for them for a very long time.
Oh, my goodness. When did you first know that you were going to be an
actress?
Uh-huh.
When I was very small.
Really? Tell me about that.
Probably in first or second grade. I was in every play, and I always knew everybody's lines, and I was very quick to say them as well.
So it was an easy transition for you in life. What was your What was your first work?
Oh, golly. I don't remember, but I remember my son's first work.
Tell us about him.
We were doing...
Say who your son is first.
My son is Robbie Benson.
Yes.
And we were doing a nationwide insurance commercial at my home. And my 2 kids were in the commercial. And Daddy was going to come, who was an actor, of course, not my husband. But he was coming home to greet the family. And the director placed Robbie in a tree.
Uh-huh.
And he was spread eagle on this limb, and I was on the sidewalk, and my daughter had my hand, and we were walking to greet Dad when Robbie stopped and asked the director if he might sit sideways. He said, I could do a much better job for you if I didn't have to
sit
this
way.
I think he was 2 and a half.
Oh, my goodness. So you're all born with a sense of this.
Yes, I think so.
Genetic. And,
yes.
And so his father, your husband...
Is a writer.
And for what?
Well, he's written for many things. But he's made movies. He's written books. He writes beautiful music. And now he's retired. But... the reason I think my children were always interested in the business is that we created our own musical comedy review And we took it all over the country, and we ended up in New York at the Pierre. And I thought New York was heavenly for my room at the Pierre.
Uh-huh.
We couldn't even afford the food at the Pierre, but we had lovely rooms. And even with a 50% discount, the food was still too expensive for us.
And was that your first time in New York? Because you said you were born in Texas,
yes.
But then you lived in New York, and then you came to California?
And then we came to California. We were in New York for a number of years. And then we came out to L.A. when my husband and my son, my husband is Jerry Siegel, they wrote a script called One on One, a basketball movie, and my son Robbie starred in it. And we moved from New York to L.A., when they sold that film to Warner Brothers.
So Robbie was born in New York then?
Robbie was born in Dallas.
Oh, still
He made
in
his
Dallas.
First commercial in Dallas.
Okay. Okay, you did say that. I'm
Yeah, in Dallas when he was so young.
Yes, I lost track of the time sequence. I'm
not
sorry
only
about
did
that.
We put a review together,
yeah.
But I had a children's show on WFAA, a television show, and it was something we did once a week, and I think we competed with and beat out Howdy Doody.
Oh, my goodness, I remember Howdy Doody. Yes, I certainly do.
So my kids were steeped in the business, and they didn't have a choice, I think.
Well, you know, but you were involved in with very early television.
Yes.
Different from today.
Mm.
Yes.
Very different.
So we had Howdy Doody. What year was that? Like the early 50s?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And before that, I don't know what was
nationwide. Mid-50s, I think. Yeah.
Nationwide, there was Time for Beanie.
Yeah.
Did you have that all over, or was that an L.A. thing?
I don't remember that. No.
Might have been just a Los Angeles thing. Space Patrol?
No.
A Los Angeles thing. So I guess cities have their own.
Well, they do. They might have played, you know, we might have had them. But I was very busy, and I don't remember them.
Yeah, that could be too, of course. What were the biggest challenges?
I guess taking good care of my family and trying to juggle a lot of balls. But yeah. I think that's every woman's challenge, whatever she happens to want to do besides raise a family.
But would you say family still in your heart comes first?
Absolutely.
I can see
Absolutely.
That in your face, the way you're talking. Yeah. And
from the first day to today.
Yes.
That's true.
And I'm sure they know that.
Oh, they do.
They feel that.
They do.
So what stories stand out to you in your own work life?
Oh, golly.
As significant or turning points or things that really made you, roles that really made you happy that, because I think the mark of an actor can be playing roles that aren't you.
Oh,
like putting
yes.
yourself into somebody
yeah.
else.
That's true. Well, most roles are being something or somebody else, but bringing yourself to that particular role.
Because I can see where, well, my daughter had once said to me something about, you know, could you be an actress? I said, oh, yeah, I think I'd be a really good one. And then I said, if I could do roles that are exactly replicate me. And she said, well, then you're not an actor. And I thought, well, that's fair enough.
Well, I think the thing I like most is comedy. I love the idea that we can make people laugh.
Yes.
And I think that it's a service.
Oh, and there's a power in it, too.
Well, I'm not so into the power of it.
I mean, it's a joyful power to have the power to make somebody else laugh.
I know is that people come here or listen to you or watch you, and they have their own bundle of troubles.
Right.
And if you can distract them for any amount of time and make them laugh, giggle, smile, think about something besides the things that were bothering them,
yes.
I think that's a wonderful thing, and I love that.
I have a friend who is actually, his name is Alan Klein, and he's been on this with me before, and he is a self-described jollytologist. Now, his background was theater.
Yes.
And I think he's actually a producer of Captain Kangaroo.
Oh,
at
my.
Some point. I mean, he did a lot of...
Yeah.
And
Captain Kangaroo was around...
Yes, for
day.
A long time. Well, he's our age, too. And he went into the field of teaching people how to laugh during crisis.
Mm.
And,
yes.
You know, but I mean, burn victims and, you know, cancer patients who had gone through amputations and people... and. Financial losses, whatever it is, mm-hmm. that permission to laugh.
Oh, golly.
Is a saving grace.
It is. Yes. It's a wonderful thing.
Do you have favorite comedians?
Oh.
Can we say?
Oh, golly. I like so many comedians.
Me too. Yes.
Who are your favorite?
And by the way, and they've changed over time. I mean, actually, you were talking about Betty White.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll tell you something. Oh, I don't know how to say this, really. But she was the first really funny person I ever saw who was flat-out gorgeous in that Miss America kind of way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Betty is
gorgeous.
One of the most beautiful women I have ever seen. As beautiful today as she was when she was 20. When she was young, she was startling.
I know. I remember her on, by the way, Life with Elizabeth, that TV program. Do you remember that?
Yes.
With Del Moore.
Yeah.
And that was, what, 60 years ago? Yes. And I still remember it. Like, she was gorgeous.
Well, nobody has timing like Betty.
No.
Betty is funny. Betty is, and she's so cute. And one night we were shooting till almost 10. And she was due on the set the next morning for her other television show at 7, in makeup, in hair and makeup, and ready to work. And now, this lady is 90, you know, I think she was 91 at the time when we did this. And she sat there. She flirted with the cameraman. She always flirted with this one cameraman. And she waited patiently, and she never complained, and she was right there on top of every line. She was just wonderful.
Yes. She's wonderful all the way
so
through.
So admirable.
Yes.
And I've seen young people, I've seen a lot of people throw fits because they didn't get their way, or the dressing room wasn't perfect, or the coffee wasn't hot, or something stupid. And here this pro, this wonderful professional lady, never said, hey, I've got to be on the set, and I'm already 91 years old. Nothing. You're wonderful.
That business being really a good professional in that field. Do you see more of that today, the bratty stuff?
Well, used to be? You do see it.
You see it all over the world more today.
Yeah, but, you know, there was a time when Hollywood trained people.
To what?
To be stars.
Yeah.
Today, you can... It's people can be overnight sensations because of something they did on television.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. Or online.
Yes.
And they're not ready for it, and they don't know how to handle it, and they don't know how to behave.
The emotional side of that sudden fame and money is difficult. Yeah.
They just aren't ready, I'd say.
Yes. I know, you see it differently, but although I must say, when I see movies, I am impressed, and I think there are so many absolutely exceptional actors today.
There are. There's some very fine actors.
And very
fine young actors as well. Yeah, there are. I remember we were doing... What were we doing? I think Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Robbie came on stage. We were doing this in Michigan, in Saugatuck, Michigan. And at the Red Barn. And Robbie came on stage. I think he was chewing gum. So we got a hold of him off stage and said, never do that again. That is so unprofessional. He never did that again. He always was the most professional, most kind person, and generous person as an actor.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, so, I must guess that he had really good examples in you and his father. By the way, not just by example, but probably some good genetic luck.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I believe in that.
But we also were very stern about, if you're going to do this, you're going to do it right, or you're not going to do it at all.
Yes.
I think my mother said that to me, so.
I think that was something that people used to, that was a philosophy. How has it changed now?
I don't know.
I mean, the whole the industry changed that you can see from then to now.
Well, it's a different world.
Yeah.
Things are moving along much faster. Things that were new. I mean, look at generations who have grown up they've never known to be without a television,
a
computer, Netflix. I mean, I can't tell you the things I remember. My mother had an icebox. So.
Oh, yes, of course. By the way, I still say icebox, and my mother didn't have one. But her mother must have, which is where she learned to say icebox. Yes. I still say icebox.
And we had a milkman.
Yes, of course, in Dallas.
Yes,
the Ador milk.
That's right.
Came. Oh, yes, the milkman, and you would say, you'd leave a little note when you would return the bottles.
That's right.
Because recycling was an automatic part
Absolutely.
Of life.
Yes.
So you give back the glass bottles and you leave a little note of what you... That was nice. But today people aren't home so much to get a delivery.
Well, we have Trader yes. Joe's.
That's true. That's true. Yes.
You don't have Trader Joe's, you're so unlucky.
But also I'm saying that we don't have delivery. That's not exactly true because Amazon delivers.
Everybody delivers.
You're right. But not... We used to have the Helmsman, the bakery truck that would go through the neighborhood.
Well, I didn't have Helms or the same milk company you had,
right.
you know.
But did you have that?
But we did have.
Yes, the vegetable trucks.
Absolutely. I think my great-grandfather had one of those vegetable
yes.
trucks.
So when you, now, Robbie is too old to have grown up in the, you know, two-thumb texting. I mean, so you weren't raising children on devices.
No, and yet, he writes music, as his father did, mm-hmm. and... He has a studio with all sorts of complicated things in it that I don't know the names of.
Right.
And he produces his own music and does it beautifully, and he's as comfortable with computers as...
No, I was actually thinking of in terms of, communicating
yes.
by primarily texting.
Yes.
And, you know, people...
Well, that's texting.
Yes.
That's something...
Well, when you said they have things today that we never knew about, you were saying, you know, Netflix
They've always had them. I mean, there's a generation that doesn't know life without texting,
right.
without Netflix, without Amazon. I mean, these are things that are part of their life
right.
and they've been
yes.
since they were born.
That's right. And you see, I mean, I don't think that children have toy phones anymore. They actually have real ones when they're very young.
Absolutely. I have two grandchildren. When they were two,
oh, okay.
they got their first computer.
Yes.
You know, so, and now they're in college.
Yes. So the computer, and people do tend to get a little upset with children spending too much time.
On the computer.
Yes, but the creative possibilities for it are huge.
That's true.
Yes.
My problem with texting and the phone is that as an actor, I believe in being in the moment,
oh.
wherever I am, whatever I'm doing. And it annoys me when I have my grandchildren around and they're busy texting and they're not in the moment.
Oh, they're not present emotionally for what's...
That's
yes.
exactly
oh,
what
yes.
I mean.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, you know, it's been changing friendships. Or I have friends who... I don't leave my cell phone on. When I'm with anybody, I'm with you.
Yeah.
No cell phone. Whoever wants me. I mean, unless I'm a pediatric neurosurgeon or something and I'm expecting an emergency.
Yes.
And
in
people,
your next life.
Yes. And people spend... They will say to me, okay, you know, I know how you feel. I've turned my cell phone off, and they show me. But it's not off. It's just on vibrate. So it won't ring. And during a whole conversation... They're glancing into their purse or into their lap.
Yes. That annoys me the most at the theater.
Oh, all those blue glow of all those lights.
That yeah. annoys me because there again, you want to be in the moment. You want to be captured by that screen
right.
without any distractions.
Right.
And unfortunately, we can see to the right and to the left of us.
I thought you were going to say something else when you sit in the theater. I was picturing you as an actor on stage seeing people with their device, that must be just galling.
Well, I had another life for Merrill Lynch. I was their national spokesperson.
Oh.
And I gave seminars on educating women to the market and to saving and investing. And I would do these seminars for 300-400 people and more. And every once in a while, the phone would go off.
Somebody's phone in the...
Yes, uh-huh. in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And I always said things like, excuse me, is that for me? And hopefully, in a nice way, I embarrassed them.
Well, but people, you know, there's usually a voice that says, please turn your cell phones off.
Oh, yes, but it doesn't make a difference.
Because they turn
anybody.
The ring off.
Yes.
But they're still...
No, and
yes.
the rings still go on. And it's happened on Broadway, in Broadway theaters, yes.
No.
Distract me no end.
There's a restaurant in England And I was there years ago, and when cell phones first came to be such a public, you know, everybody had one. Mm-hmm. And there was a sign at the door, and it said, "If you bring your cell phone out, you'll be asked to leave."
Oh my!
Uh-huh. There was a coffee shop in San Francisco because people will go in, say to Starbucks, mm-hmm. and they take a table and they set up. Yes. As far as I'm concerned, a law office. They don't leave all day. They
That's
open their
true.
Computer and they get one cup of coffee and they sit there
all day.
Well, 4 hours.
Yeah, they do.
And nobody asks them to leave.
No.
But there was a coffee shop in San Francisco that did not allow any devices, no cell phones, and it said, "No cell phones, no computers. Sit down and talk to someone."
Oh, that's unusual.
Popular. Yeah.
That's sad if the art of talking is lost, you know, to a device.
Well, the art of communication has been a little stymied.
Yeah.
Because, like you're saying, to be present in the moment, when you start to talk to somebody who's constantly glancing down at her purse or his lap, what do?
That's annoying.
I mean, don't you eventually stop talking?
Of course. Of course.
I think it harms friendships.
It does. You've got a third person. You've got...
That you can't possibly compete with because you're not as interesting.
I just think it's easier just to stop talking.
It is.
Yes.
Anyway, let's say on the subject of your family now. So Robbie is not acting right now. He's doing all music?
Oh, he does everything.
Oh, he still
does?
No,
he teaches film at the University of Indiana.
Oh, is that where he lives?
No.
He goes back.
He lives in Maui.
Oh, my goodness, that's even a farther...
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And I think he lives on Maui because he spent the last 3 winters in Indiana.
Oh.
He bought a house on the phone, but it's a wonderful house.
Good.
They do something terrific.
What?
They build houses, 2-story houses in Hawaii, with a kitchen and bathrooms on each floor so that two families can live together.
How lovely.
That way nobody gets under anybody's feet.
Really?
And you're there together. I think that's really beautiful.
Is that what their house is like?
That's
so
exactly.
So when you stay with them?
Oh, yes. And their kids, one of their daughter, Lyric, has been with them and her new spouse. They just moved to Iowa. They've got a little culture shock going there.
What do they do there?
Well, they're into transcendental meditation. He works with computers.
Mm-hmm.
And she writes poetry.
Nice.
and now she's working, because of the election, she's working very hard for a candidate.
Okay, I guess we're not gonna time constrain ourselves by this, right? That is interesting, though.
Yes.
And I mean, by the way, that's another device, how they're all using it.
Oh, and so many businesses, very very fine businesses have developed from the computer. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, the businesses that come up in response to need, for example, Uber and Lyft. Brilliant.
Isn't it?
Yes. Have you ever used one?
Oh, yes. Lyft, when I was north, I used Lyft, and it was just terrific. I love the kids that picked me up. They were so charming. They were all college students. And I thought it was really very easy to use.
And the advantage...
Price-wise was good.
Well, also the advantage, you know, of the internet for this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many advantages. There's no waiting time between your need to go someplace...
That's true.
...and the person showing up.
That's true.
Whereas when you used to call a cab, you might have to wait for some time for it to show up.
Well,
I like a lot of the instantaneous life, I must say.
I went up north to have a knee replaced. And I was in Fremont.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a fantastic doctor, Dr. Saw, who did just a fabulous job.
And you went up there because you'd been recommended to
him? Well, I had heard of the Dearborn Saw Clinic. And I was told that when I had this knee done, that I'd be on ice for 3 months because I had a partial knee replacement already.
Oh.
So that had to come out, and a whole new knee had to go in. And the doctor that I spoke to in L.A. said, 3 months, you're going to be on ice. And I said, I'm too old. I don't have 3 months to wait. I'm going to sit on ice. I have ice on my knee. Sit on ice. It's funnier. Anyway, so I heard about this doctor and this clinic, and I walked the first day.
Wow.
And have been walking ever since. And I had to fly up there. I flew to Oakland and took the BART. And
you did that by yourself?
By myself.
Wow.
And then took a cab to the hospital. And he took the long way around. And I found out I could have walked a half a block and gotten to the hospital. And so
there's
the
a lesson
time,
for you.
Yes. So the next time I used Lyft, which was so inexpensive, and they came quickly. And
more honorable, apparently,
for this.
Yes, I was
very happy with
it. I'm so impressed that you would do that by yourself.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. Sometimes you just learn about some new kind of bravery.
Well, I mean, when I lived in New York, I got on the subway by myself.
No, I don't mean that. I mean to go for a surgery.
Oh, no. Well, I went up there with my daughter. She drove me up so that she could drive me back.
Oh, I see. Okay, so you weren't stuck on the way back.
No, okay. I flew up 2 weeks later.
I see.
And saw my doctor.
Okay.
And
that you could do on your own.
Yes.
Yes.
And that's we're talking about walking.
Yes.
I was fine.
Good for you. I'm glad. Let me ask you something on just another subject, because we've been talking about communication. Love letters. Are you a letter writer? You must have been when you were a girl, because that's what we did.
Oh, of course. Of course. And my husband wrote, and he was a writer. He seduced me with wonderful letters.
Oh, well, you still have all those.
I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
well,
I hope so.
Okay. Point made. So you have a wonderful collection for grandchildren to find and great-grandchildren to find.
I love the play Love Letters. Robbie did that. And it was so
Do you write letters now?
I write letters online.
Yes.
But I use my computer to keep up with my friends.
Right.
And I write many more people I grew up with, and who are in Dallas, and people I've worked with all over the country.
So you use it as a letter writing
as
tool.
As a letter writing.
I have a thought, because technology changes so quickly.
Yes.
And what you can do today won't be accessible in 10 years.
Probably, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, your floppy disks and your VCRs.
Absolutely.
You can't. Do you ever think about making hard copies of every letter you write?
No, but that's a wonderful idea.
And sign them?
That's a wonderful
idea. Put your little mark of your own handwriting on, so someday when your grandchildren find them,
that's such a lovely idea.
They'll be touching something that's actually felt the touch of your hand long after we're all gone.
Yes.
Okay.
You write letters, I'll bet.
I do. But I'm hooked on, I mean, I love my devices.
Yes.
I love all of them.
Yes, me too.
But I still will write. And I'll tell you something else. I write letters sometimes. I'll drop a note because I can't find somebody by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
In the first three tries, I get their machines. They call back and they say, oh, I got your message. Call me. And then I call them. And it's a big waste of time.
It is. You text?
Yes. Not often and not, you know. But I'll drop a note and stick it in the mailbox to say what I first was going to call about.
That's nice.
It's faster,
as
it turns out.
Do you make a hard copy of it?
No. Do I make copies of everything? No, I don't.
No,
I don't.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. I make hard copies of certain emails I get, yes. But if I just drop a note to somebody, I don't make a copy of it. But people act like I've sent them a diamond watch. I'm glad you... Okay, so maybe you'll do that.
Idea.
Maybe you'll make hard copies and put them in a treasure box.
Yes, it's a lovely idea.
Okay. Thank you for doing this with me. I'm so glad we got to talk and that I got to know more about you. And I've got a whole bunch of movies now to re-see.
Yes.
One-to-one.
One-on-one.
Well, I'm just... Yes, one-on-one.
You saw The Chosen.
Yes. That was quite an interesting...
Remember Ode to Billy Joe?
Yes.
These are all the... Robbie did a lot of things. He did one with George Burns.
What was that?
Two of a Kind. It was
a television movie. Yes.
One of my favorites was for television. It was Death Be Not Proud. Well, that's a beautiful film.
You can probably get those on Hulu and some of these new things now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm going to look for some of the things that you've done, too.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
So just remember, please, everybody, that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, writing a love letter is a special occasion. And if you get emails that you love, print them out on good, strong paper and stick them in a good, strong treasure box so that somebody will find them later. And you'll find them later. When you're an old woman or an old man, you can look back at this, and it'll take you back to your youth.
Yeah, lovely.
I think.
And something to leave for your children and your grandchildren.
It's a wonderful legacy, a box of letters.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, dear. Until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye. We'll talk to you later.